Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Death of Truth is a nonfiction investigation by journalist Stephen Brill into how digital media has weakened shared standards of fact in public life. Drawing on his experience as a co-founder of NewsGuard and a longtime media observer, Brill examines how social media, search, programmatic advertising, political propaganda, and online business models have combined to amplify misinformation and erode trust in institutions, expertise, and journalism. The book is less a general history of the internet than a critique of the systems that reward attention over accuracy. It argues that the crisis of truth is not accidental, it is built into the incentives of platforms, advertisers, and political actors who profit from division. Brill also turns toward possible remedies, asking what kinds of legal, educational, and civic reforms might restore a healthier information environment. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Section 230 and platform immunity helped normalize harmful online content. A central part of Brill's argument is that the legal structure surrounding the internet made it unusually difficult to hold platforms accountable for what spreads on them. He places special emphasis on Section 230, the law that gave online services broad immunity from liability while allowing them to moderate content in their own way. Brill's point is not simply that the law was mistaken in principle, but that it created an environment where responsibility and power became separated. Platforms could shape information flows without bearing the same obligations that traditional publishers or broadcasters faced. That shift mattered because it reduced the pressure to remove or contain material that was false, manipulative, or dangerous. In Brill's telling, the legal framework did not merely permit bad content to exist. It helped normalize a system in which virality, not verification, became the governing standard. This topic is important because it explains why misinformation became so scalable and why appeals to platform neutrality often conceal real editorial power. Secondly, engagement-driven algorithms and the business logic of division. Brill devotes major attention to the way social media algorithms are designed around user engagement rather than public value. He argues that platforms learn to maximize time spent, clicks, shares, and emotional reaction, and that those goals naturally reward outrage, fear, and simplification. In this model, content that polarizes often travels farther than content that informs. Brill treats this as a structural problem rather than a matter of a few bad posts or rogue users. The platforms are not passive conduits. They are active systems that rank, recommend, and amplify what keeps attention locked in place. That distinction matters because it shifts the debate from individual media literacy alone to the incentives built into the products themselves. Brill also connects this logic to the broader culture of optimization in Silicon Valley, where success is measured by growth and engagement metrics instead of truthfulness or social impact. The result is an environment in which manipulation is not an aberration, but a predictable byproduct of the system. Thirdly, programmatic advertising and the hidden financing of misinformation. Another distinctive thread in the book is Brill's focus on advertising infrastructure, especially programmatic ad systems that automatically place ads across thousands of websites. This matters because many advertisers assume their brands are appearing in reputable environments, while in reality their spending can end up supporting low-quality or deceptive sites. Brill uses this to show that misinformation is not sustained only by ideologizer trolls. It is also subsidized by ordinary commercial systems that route money to wherever attention can be bought cheaply. That insight broadens the problem beyond content moderation. If falsehood is profitable, then it will keep finding business support even when platforms claim to police it. Brill's analysis suggests that the market incentives of digital advertising have helped create a shadow economy in which sensational and unreliable information can be monetized at scale. This is one of the book's strongest contributions because it reveals an indirect but powerful mechanism behind the spread of false narratives, the money trail, that sustains them. Fourthly, disinformation as a political weapon, from foreign operations to domestic demagoguery. Brill does not present misinformation as a purely technological phenomenon. He situates it in a larger political struggle in which state actors, partisan networks, and public figures exploit digital tools to weaken trust and intensify conflict. The book discusses foreign disinformation campaigns from countries such as Russia, Iran, and China, but it also places significant responsibility on domestic actors who weaponize falsehood for political gain. That includes the culture of repetition, provocation, and strategic lying that has flourished in modern political communication. Brill's broader point is that digital media did not create the impulse to manipulate public opinion, but it gave demagogues vastly more efficient tools for doing so. Falsehood can now move faster, reach farther, and fragment audiences more precisely than in older media systems. This matters because it makes truth not only a philosophical issue, but a matter of democratic resilience. When people no longer share basic facts, public debate becomes easier to distort and harder to resolve. Lastly, practical reforms identity, enforcement, education, and the limits of easy fixes. The final part of Brill's argument moves from diagnosis to prescription. He proposes systemic reforms such as amending Section 230 to address dangerous algorithms, reducing anonymity online, strengthening enforcement against harmful platform behavior, and improving news and information literacy in schools. What distinguishes this section is that Brill does not pretend the solution will come from one simple law or from individual users becoming more careful. He treats the problem as institutional and therefore requiring institutional responses. At the same time, the book acknowledges how difficult these reforms would be to implement in practice, which gives the discussion a realistic, if sometimes pessimistic, tone. This is useful because it prevents the argument from collapsing into either despair or false optimism. Brill's remedies are less a finished program than a map of where pressure might be applied if democratic societies want to recover some shared basis for truth. The chapter is especially valuable for readers who want not only critique, but a serious account of what structural repair could look like. In conclusion, The Death of Truth will be most useful to readers who want to understand why online misinformation has become so persistent, profitable, and politically disruptive. It is a strong choice for journalists, policy readers, educators, media critics, and anyone trying to make sense of the relationship between platforms, advertising, and democratic decline. The book offers practical value by showing that the crisis of falsehood is not just about bad information passing through the internet. It is about legal immunity, algorithmic incentives, monetized attention, and the commercialization of distrust. That systems-level perspective is what gives the book its force. Compared with other books on misinformation, Brill's work stands out because it combines investigative reporting with insider knowledge from his role in founding NewsGuard. And because it reaches beyond cultural commentary to discuss concrete reforms, it is also unusually focused on the infrastructure of the problem, especially the hidden mechanics of platform design and ad tech funding. Readers looking for a concise self-help style guide will not find that here. Readers looking for a serious, policy-minded diagnosis of how truth was weakened online will find one of the more substantial and timely books in the field. If you would like to support Stephen Brill, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.